I've got Phil Neal and Ian Callaghan with me. I thought I'd better just tell people.
Yeah.
Now, this the official story, it's a long story. Which part of Liverpool's official story would you say you'd like to see most in this play?
I don't think you can... I don't think this play is going to highlight any one particular thing. I think it's going to be...
It's just the history,
like the,
isn't it?
The history of LFC, it, you know. Kind of, there's some sad times.
Yes.
There's some laughter times. I think this thing... it's going to show what the city's like.
Yeah, it's typical of Liverpool, right, isn't it? You know, and it's great that, you know... I mean, the history... I mean, the great names, Billy Little and
Istanbul,
you know, and then going through all the, you know, all the decades.
Finals.
Yeah, you know, so I think the whole thing. So
I don't think you can highlight one.
No,
you know,
no,
what I mean? I don't think they will do that. But the humour and everything else that the city's had over the years through our history comes out in the play. I think that is the most important thing.
Because we're famous, aren't we, for having a laugh? We're famous for, you know, sort of crying when we've lost or when, you know, whatever. So you know, the whole thing about the play is up and down, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, Ian said something in a group. He said because we were going through and we didn't very often go through some bad periods, but we were on a bad period. And before Ian left to go to Swansea, he said that's the trouble with us. We take winning for granted.
Yeah.
You know, we've been on a good run. We've probably lost two out of the last four, and it's all hell's breaking loose because we look sloppy. We don't look like a championship challenging team.
Yeah.
And he said that, and he said, you know what, we take winning for granted because we've had it so often since Shankly days and everything else, and everybody else who's taken over.
Yeah.
And that is the reality of good people saying the right thing at the right time,
yeah,
which can alter a course. It certainly helped us alter the course that year.
Yeah. Yeah. So what year would that be, roughly?
Well, you could pick 70. Don't know. 78. Well, when did you leave?
I left 78. So
78. So it'll be 77, 78. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's after the 77,
yeah,
joyous.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a hiccup or whatever the following year or the year after that.
Yeah. Yeah, Nottingham Forest came along, didn't they? And
they knocked us clearly.
Yeah.
Smacked us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cluffy came here and put, like Mourinho did this year.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. Exciting
so game,
football.
Yeah, the game hasn't changed, has it?
No. And you've got to be prepared. You think you can never rest, can you?
No.
I mean, taking that for the current season for Liverpool, they did well last season. They finished
Fantastic.
Second.
They were,
you know,
wonderful.
Well above what everyone expected. But does that raise the expectations for this season now? Have Liverpool got to do as well? They've got to do better.
Well, I think the expectations must be high, you know, because everybody, you know, we've mentioned about, you know, a couple of months before the season was, you know, you were happy, fourth place, got a Champions League spot.
And then all of a sudden, the last five home games,
we can win the Premiership.
We're in a position of winning.
So, and then the way it was taken away, you know, I think the expectations will be very high. And, you know, Brendan has bought players, spent money. So
he'll feel the pressure more than he did last year.
Because
he was able to actually, and several people have said it, but it's clear that he could pick his best team every year for every game because there's no interruption every week through a European commitment.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is an advantage, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there were a lot of games this season. When you think of it, you know, you've got the Premiership, you've got the Champions League, you've got the Community...
Capital One,
it's called isn't it? The League, which was the League Cup.
Yeah.
You've got the FA Cup, you know, so there's four trophies. And, you know, if you progress... Yeah, so a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think he was judged on the last five games. Oh, he just missed it.
Yes, yeah.
And the pressure was building then. It'll build from the first game.
You okay?
It'll build from the first game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It will.
So you've got to get off to a winning start then, basically.
Well, I mean, it's great to get off to a winning start.
It was lovely to see them smile yesterday.
Right? Yeah.
Well,
So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all, before, so Sunday. Many, you know. I mean, when we played, great to get off to a winning start, you know.
Yeah.
And it mean a lot, really, just winning the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know it was
just
a friendly.
One,
yeah, that's it. Like last season, it started off with 1-0.
So you know, the friendly game against Dortmund. I mean, you played well and 4-0. So that'd be a boost.
But it's still this weekend.
Oh, it's all about this. It's all about Premiership.
He knows. Yeah, he knows. You know, you can prepare. You
the
think,
end of the
oh.
day.
And the press are saying, oh, you've won all your games through pre-season, haven't got beat. And then we lose to QPR at the start of the season. I remember, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Away.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, all that preparation, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Sweating your cobs up.
Yeah.
You get beat by a team that's going, what you regard
one
as
one you'd expect it to be,
Shouldn't be too much to overcome. So,
But then you get the odd results on you at the beginning of the season, like you do at the end of the season, but I think it's essential to get off to a good start. I really do.
But do you think we can? Well, obviously, there's a certain player. Well, we'll have to say his name. Luis Suarez left. Scored a lot of goals last season. Do Liverpool need to? I wouldn't say replace him, but do Liverpool need to find someone to fill his shoes, or do you think they've already got someone who can do that?
Well, I think it's difficult to fill anybody's shoes. You know, we've said nobody's bigger than this football club. Having said that, you know, he was such a tremendous talent.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was fantastic to watch him fill last season.
It was brilliant.
You know, I mean, football of the year and everything. You can't ignore that.
No.
He was fantastic talent. But then he's gone. So, you know, you just got to get on with it, but Brendan will. So.
But this official history of Liverpool's football club, right? It coped with a certain Kevin Keegan, and so did we. And the dressing room.
I was just going to say, we've lost number sevens before, haven't we?
Hang on, we've lost number sevens before. Just think the youngsters think, or Ricky Lambert has come back to his city.
Yes.
And as a scouser, I'm thinking, he must. I'll get more games and more active. I'll be more active than I probably thought with him gone. I'm not saying it'll work just as easy as that.
No.
But Keegan left. Yeah. Him and I were in the dressing room thinking, the boss is going to find it hard to replace this fella.
Yeah.
And he comes up with a gem through Jeff Twentyman, his chief scout.
And a different type of player. He never, I mean, he was different.
He was different again.
To Kevin.
Kevin was mobile.
But then
two
great players in their own right.
You know what I mean? So we've overcome it before, I hope, with our additions.
You just got to get on with it.
And they look like good additions at the moment. They can enhance all the youngsters again because they did us proud last year.
Even
youngsters, Flanagan and, kind of people that aren't goal scorers. Coutinho's got to grow into it after a disappointing World Cup. I would feel like,
he looked
antagonistic.
He looked ready for a fight, didn't he, on Sunday?
You understand what I'm saying? I'm ready to prove my country.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a bit like him missing the 1977, sorry, 1966 World Cup in England. You know, it's past you. But he went as a good pro around every good pro. And that's what won Alf Ramsey.
Yeah.
A World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the squad. It's more of a squad game now, isn't it?
Yeah. We've always had it here.
Yeah.
In our days, we've always had a squad.
Like you haven't said that, a squad game. I mean, at international level or World Cup level, you still got the 22 players. So
you need to play against each other in training.
From the club point of view, it is a squad now. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the amount of games and
So.
That's the way people look at it.
Yeah.
Squad system.
So do you think there's many more chapters to be written for Liverpool's official story? Do you think there's a lot more to come?
I do.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think there's a lot more promising kind of action, particularly led by the manager.
Football club now, even from when we played, it's a worldwide football club, Phil, now. See the people who go and watch it when we play in Melbourne and
I was lucky enough to go to Melbourne last year, and it was amazing.
Phenomenal.
David Johnson, a full-grown Scouser, he said, I cried when I heard "You'll Never Walk Alone" in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's tearful.
Yeah, it was stunning. what I remember actually most about the game in Melbourne was that it felt like a cup final, European cup final even. And then, of course, when the players came on, it was still pre-season and we had to play that way.
Yeah.
And I almost felt frustrated that
I understand.
They weren't doing what they should have been.
Sure.
But I think that's again about pre-season, is it?
But he's got a bigger
pre-season squad
to cope with his year ahead.
Yeah.
It'll test Brendan.
Maybe he's not finished.
No,
maybe there's still a few days left before the start of the season.
So,
he has somebody in mind.
Yeah, could have.
Yeah. So we shall wait and see. Watch this space.
So lots to look forward to.
I think so.
Loads.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Thanks for chatting to us today.
Hey, not at all. No problem.
And so we're here this time next year talking about the next chapter on this.
Yeah. We would have won it six times, wouldn't we?
At least. And number 19 in the league.
I hope I'm round.
Yeah. Well, 6 and 19 I'm going to have on them on the bingo, I think. Yeah. All year long, 6 and 19. Yeah.
Oh, thanks very much.
No problem.
I'm Jake Abraham, I play Jerry in the play.
And I'm Dan Ross, and I play a busker, Copite.
So we all play several roles in the play, there's a lot of characters. We all jump in. Daniel plays a couple of early...
like a soldier and a...
A soldier, he plays about five...
Dixie Dean.
Yeah, Dixie Dean. I do Paisley, Beardsley, Curtis Shankly. You know, we all quote Shankly, don't we?
Yeah.
So we're all... And then the Scouts, we all play. It's hectic backstage because... As Lenny said, you feel safer on stage because you know what you're doing. When you come off in the wings, you go, what's next? Everyone's just running past each other, putting different clothes on it. So it's a proper, like an old farce, isn't it?
It's
backstage,
great.
It is great. Like,
is it great? I mean,
it's terrifying at first, but now we know it. It's just fun.
Well, when you're saying like you know it, I mean, did you know a lot of it anyway? Like,
no.
As in the history of the club and
I'm
stuff?
I'm an Evertonian.
Has he taught you stuff, right?
So, I'm not crazy. I was never... this is the point we're talking... You don't choose... People say, you don't choose what club you support. You give it. It's something that's given to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one chooses what club they support. It's given to you
by your dad,
or who takes you to your first game.
Yeah.
And I went, and I love Liverpool. I always have. I've always had my eyes on Liverpool club. But I went to the boys' pen in Everton first. But I've probably been to more Liverpool games than I have Everton games. Because I get Everton are like that, and Liverpool are quite nice to invite. And people who've got. And tables here, I've been invited a lot, you know. So, and I love Shankly anyway because he's like the Pope of football, isn't he? So.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, it's great to listen to some of his quotes and that. And
amazing.
So, are they sort of like born again in the story then? In the play?
Well, it starts off 1892, and we start the whole history of the club. It starts off with John Olding and the meet the board meeting where the club splits.
Right.
And Everton, they go, I'm off to do. It's done 3 weeks. We have a band set up here. The band, the brilliant Daniel's on the band. There's another four. How many other four members?
Another four
who are here today.
Right.
And then we have the cop at the middle and a bar. Yeah, which is my friend Tommy. I'm his best mate in it. It's like our lives, but not only ours, our grandparents and our great grandparents who came to the game. So we follow the history of the club, starts right through, and then it goes. And the through song, hilarious jokes. It tells the story of Liverpool, and not only Liverpool's story, people's stories based around Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
So all those great little stories you've heard about 50 pence to mind your car, or all that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And stuff you haven't heard of. It's woven through the story, you know. There's a great quote, and I'm going to say this to every single interview, is that my friend said to me, I said, what do you think? He said, it was brilliant, because it's like the cop at the end, you'll see it on the DVD, everyone brings flags, it's like the cop used to be, when he's singing, he does Never Walk Alone, and then you do Fields of Anfield,
Road, yeah.
And that just gets them, it's amazing, it has the ears on the back of your neck up.
Yeah.
But my mate said to me, it was brilliant, I sang, I laughed, I cried, and I hugged strangers, and that for me, sums it up. That's what it's like. People just comes. It brings people together.
That's what happens at the game. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's what football does. Yeah.
Yeah. And you meet new people. You might sit with people you might never see again. You think, but
and they're all going to cry and with each other. Men more so than women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with the Hillsborough stuff. You know, I mean, it's done really It's done so well.
It sounds like it's being done in a way that it's like being at the game, going to the show.
It is. Yeah.
Almost.
And do you think
almost.
this new venue will make it even more that way? Because it's going to fit
I want to say, because we've never done it in an arena. I've never done a play in an arena before. I've only ever done plays in theatres. But I think this play, of all plays, can transfer to that type of environment because it's football. If it was a Dostoevsky play, I'm sure it wouldn't work in an arena.
You probably wouldn't fill it either.
No, stadium,
no, we wouldn't fill the playoffs. Maybe in London at the National, but here. I think it'll work because of the music, mainly because it's a great band, great sound, some rocking songs as well. I think that'll make it work. Otherwise, if there was no music, maybe. I know I've heard the place, but I think this will work.
It's that stadium environment, and it's the same as being at a game.
Being at a game, because it is like, you know, because I've been to Cobb. I remember going to Cobb when I was a kid. Started here one part, and I ended up 100 metres from where, you know, 50 metres from where I started. It was a living organism, wasn't it? It was just moving.
Yeah.
When I look out, and especially when we watched it the other day, get that old cop feel when everyone sings "You'll Never Walk Alone." At full voice, every single person sings it back at you. And it's an amazing
word. Only have to say one word. Don't give them the rest of it. Just hit you back in the face.
And you're trying to keep the key because some people can't see. Do you know? Yeah. So you have to keep the timing and the key right. You know, because
I was gonna say that's the other thing about being in the middle of the crowd. The person next to you is not as good a singer as it sounds like when you hear it on board.
Sang in several different keys, isn't it?
Yeah, a different speed. Yeah. So are you a Cop-out yourself, Dan?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. My dad used to go to all the games and stuff, you know, and he brought me up on it. Like, so, yeah, not been massively into football, but this has definitely pulled me in now.
Yeah,
I've been to a couple of games before and stuff, but...
It's a bug, isn't it?
Once you catch the bug,
my family keeps saying, "Are you a Red now?"
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly looking at Liverpool on the internet and checking who they signed. I've got this love for them because, you know, I know Everton has got a great history, and as Nicky said to me, it needs someone to pull that history together.
Yeah.
And someone to galvanise it and tell Everton's story. But because there's so many massive great characters at Liverpool, it works right through the generation. Yeah, it has got a narrative. If you see what I mean, there's a great narrative to it where I don't think everyone knows, not that I know.
Yeah.
Because no one's got together like they're like you don't. They haven't got a Nicky Holt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they need to find someone.
They need a Nicky Holt or anything to bring the stories out.
Who's going
to
put the effort in because there is definitely
and the love.
History there,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, history there,
and the love.
Yeah.
So is this one of the best gigs you've done then?
It's the best experience I've had on a stage, without doubt, yeah. And maybe down, you know, music, I used to be in a band when I was younger and I loved it, but not nothing like this.
So is it like a band, like a rock band?
It's like a rock band. Basically, the first half of it, sort of, it's more based on sort of like the folk tunes and the Irish stuff, you know, and that sort of ties in. And then the second half, we rock out a little bit then, don't we? And we sing all the Liverpool tunes, like Pete Wiley, Heart as Big as My Hometown and all them ones. And like
the
cast and Horse with No Name America and that, you know, and all those ones. So we rock out a little bit in the second half, don't we? It's more music orientated the second half.
Yeah.
So the first half sort of sets the story up, doesn't it? Right up to Shankly. And then the second half's when it's just rocking right the way through then.
Yes.
Right
to the end. As the MD said to us, it'll be hard because a lot of the rehearsals was music. And the first songs are, as I said, you know, Farewell, all those early songs,
Leaving Liverpool.
Sea shanty songs, you know, that I call them that. I like the Irish connection. And he said, it'll be easier for you in the second because we know this, and everyone does know.
They just pop rock.
And everyone knows. Yeah. So everyone, and some of them really do. Rock, Scousers all over the world, that goes down.
Right.
Rock. And we have the lead guitarist, the girl, Emily. And she can shred that record.
Real guitar playing. Unreal. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Don't say
it's definitely worth, even just for football fans in it. It's not just for Liverpool fans or Everton fans.
No, well, there's a lot of Everton fans went in, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, a lot of Blues loved it.
Cheers for that.
Great,
so I'm with Nicky Holt, just to talk about the new, well, not the new, but the new version, if you like, of the official story of Liverpool Football Club, which comes to the Echo Arena. What was the thinking behind getting it in the Echo Arena?
From a biased Red point of view, I just thought one of the biggest football clubs in the world, and I still think potentially the biggest football club in the world. You know, we're only a European Cup away from it myself. That's what I do think, or a Premiership.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be nice to take it to the biggest stage.
Yeah.
That was all, the whole idea, always for me, Jim, is to take Liverpool Football Club to the biggest stage. But where it started out with this, the ambition for this was always to take it to Australia.
Right.
I just knew that the diaspora was so huge. I know a lot of people from the area in the north, and especially Liverpool in the northwest, that emigrated to Australia. And I've got family and people there. And I was telling the football club for years, I said, no, if you ever go to Australia, you're going to get a shock.
Yeah.
And I think they got a shock when they went. So the ambition of the show was always to try and get it to Australia. To all that diaspora and those Liverpool fans to say, even though you live over here, hope some of this stuff connects with you. That was the ambition of the show, really.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to go to Melbourne last year for Liverpool's game, and it was absolutely, it knocked us for six, the support out there, the passion out there, and that you never walk alone in front of probably the biggest crowd Liverpool have played in a long time. So yeah, you definitely got a good market down there. So when's it likely to be hit in Australia?
Maybe when the football club play there.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the show when I started out, I mean, and I've done stuff on the, I think I was looking at the history of the club, and I thought, to do the history of the club, it's going to be difficult to not have the club with it, because I'm using footage that I'm going to have to pay for or get from somewhere. And so the idea was to marry up with the football club, to take the show to those places like Australia and to those other countries, but also to have unlimited footage. And without that, it's hard to do, you know.
Yeah, we get that with the stuff I work on. It's very, very difficult. It's expensive, isn't it, for the footage, and you know, even getting a hold of it's difficult, even if you do pay for it, you know. You know, if you've got the budget to pay for it. So yeah, so that's
well, I didn't have the budget to pay for it, and literally it was a case of, where will the show ever get to Australia without having that kind of backup?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to go and find a private producer, theatre producer in Australia to maybe co-pro or something like that. But I thought to myself, I talked to the football club, which I thought was back on level footing. And I thought to myself, if it's going to go to the places I want it to go, I'm going to have to relinquish some of the ownership.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to do.
Yeah, well, you definitely got an audience waiting for you in Australia, and from some of the lads we met last year, so that's no doubt at all. What do you think, what would you say is your highlight of the show? You know, which bit of Liverpool's history has made you happiest writing something about?
I think I loved the first 10 minutes of the play when it splits from Everton. I think the way the director and the musical director have done it, it's done it brilliant. It's very musical.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of foot stomping, and I just think the way it's played out is great. But I was just saying to a young girl there that I think my favourite scene, which you'd be surprised, it's probably the Elisha Scott and Dixie Dean scene. They were supposed to have passed each other in the street, and Dixie done a nod and Elisha dived and all that stuff. So I think the way the actors play it out, I think it's brilliant. It's played out with the old football kits on and stuff. And if I had my way, I'd have more of those old scenes in, like scenes about Billy Little, Elisha Scott.
Yeah.
But we've only got 1.5 hours, Jim, and the thing is, with Liverpool, you've got to be like ruthless in what you're not putting in.
Yeah.
So what the hard thing with this play was, we were always going, we'll leave that, we'll leave that. There's so many things that I could put back in.
Yeah.
And I'd like more of those older scenes. So the Elisha Scott Dixie Teen scene, I love.
Yes, yeah, because 120 years of history to fit in, and it's a full 120 years with Liverpool, isn't it? There's not many gaps.
There's no gaps.
You know.
The 90s was a bit of a gap. I mean, maybe the 50s when we got relegated. But I mean, when you get relegated, that's something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a scene about getting relegated, because there's an Evertonian and he's ribbing on everybody that Liverpool have gone down.
Right.
Because that's the intro into Bill Shankly arriving, because being relegated is when Shankly saved the club.
Yeah.
And I do feel like he saved the club. He took it from being a dump and gave his life towards it. And he'll always be the hero for me and many people, I think, in my generation and older than me. But it was lovely to see that when he comes on, you see his face first time in the show, the reverence at which he still held, because we're relegated and there's a scene. and it's like sort of the young kids saying, well, what saved us, what got us out of this mess? Yeah. And as soon as his face comes on the screen, the audience, to a man, always like you know, yeah, stand in ovation. So it's great to see that he's still held in that reverence.
Yeah, he's good. It's good that Liverpool have people like that to look back on, isn't it? And as proper, you know, he's like a permanent ambassador, isn't he, as well, in a way?
Yeah.
Do you think? Sorry, I'm losing my thread now. Do you think there's more icons to come from the club in the future? Do you think we've got more history to come? Do you think we're on the start of another chapter in our history at the moment?
I do. Maybe I'm the wrong person. I'm an optimist. I always think optimistically. Yeah. And after last season, and where Brendan Rodgers took us too quickly, which was his first real season. I mean, the one before was finding his feet. The fans are so impatient today.
Yeah.
I just think where he's taken us to. It was always about getting Champions League last year. We were a breath away from winning the league.
Yeah.
So I think we're on the cusp here of making a load of new history. I really do. I think these new players, the young players they've got, you know, your Sterling, your Sturridges, Lovren, all these players I'm looking at, the young fullback that just signed, they're all, if I'm honest with you, Jim, and I know you're a big Red, one of the things I thought Liverpool were lacking for years was pace.
Yeah.
Liverpool had like teams who could pass teams to death.
Yeah.
We never get nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like pass, 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 sideways, sideways, sideways. But with this team now, it's like, go and get a goal. It's like, get forward, just get forward.
Yeah.
And I think the Man United teams without, you know, want to swear, the reason that they were so good for so long is they had pace. They had like Ryan Giggs not bombing along. And I think Brendan Rodgers onto the fact, without pace today, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, just going to say, I was speaking to Jake and Dan from the cast about it, and they said there's a lot of Everton mentions, if you like, in it. And also like a lot of Everton fans coming to see it. And do you think that's something that's unique to the city of Liverpool, that you could do something like this that would still be, if you like, affectionate, if a little bit, you know, a little bit taking the mickey, but be affectionate to the rival club in the city? In other words, I couldn't see Manchester doing it the same.
I'm thinking of anywhere. I'm just going through the cities, Glasgow, London, probably the only place, but the first 20 minutes is Liverpool Everton. It's not just Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I educated myself because I'd always been a fanatical supporter. I mean, I was a lunatic supporter. I mean, I went to 42 games a season for, I think, one, without bragging about it, I think I went 1 8-year period without missing a game.
Yeah.
And so I was crazy about it. And when I look at that and I think of, you know, bloody how fanatical I was, and then the other cities that are like that are fanatical about football, your Glasgow's and your Manchester's, they couldn't sit together. And a huge part of our story is intertwined with Everton. And it was an education to me because I never knew nothing about my football club. I just went and seen them because I loved them. And then when I sat down and I read, I was like, I didn't know that happens, and I didn't know this happens. And a lot of it was quite shocking to me what I didn't know. I mean, this is for things that used to be out there. The clubs were very strong Protestant football clubs.
Yeah.
Everton were, was it Methodist, Liverpool were, was it Presbyterian? But anyway, Everton were the stricter Protestants. So when J.K. Holding went in to take over and make the club bigger, it was a night of the long knives. He thought he was going in to do this and do that. They were all ready to backstab him.
Yeah.
He walked in and he got told, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And so when he got told he couldn't use the name, he went, right, I'll show you. I'm going to go make my own football club. You're not taking the name Everton. And so he chose the name Liverpool. So finding out all that stuff is fascinating. But Liverpool and Everton, no matter what anybody says, they're intertwined. The great thing is, sometimes it's gone a bit nasty of late, but it is an original relationship with clubs. It is that people will go to things together. A lot of Everton fans come in and get a shock, but they go, you know what I've done? And I've done it purposefully. Most of the jokes and the skits are against Liverpool.
Right.
There's about four skits, I think, in it, and I think they're all Evertonians having a pop at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't have one pop at Everton in the show.
Yeah. Well, you better not. You know what? You know, the odd, I mean, they're getting reputation of being the bitters, and that's unfair, really. But I think what it is that what you sometimes hear is the bitter Evertonian above the other Evertonians, and they wouldn't let you live that down if you had a go at that.
No, you do in life, because in life you always hear the people who are bitter the loudest. Yeah. You do in every war and conflict. It's the ones who are bitter you hear the loudest.
Yeah.
But the reason, no, I'll say it to you cleanly, that I don't care what Evertonian is, the reason that I did it that way is knowing you've got Liverpool's history and Liverpool's amount of trophy winning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why do you have to skit anybody?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it speaks for itself.
Exactly.
You know, so you can say what you want about us, but at the end of the day, we've got 5 European Cups.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't argue with that, Jim. You can't. I just say it everywhere I go. When I'm on holiday, son, and a Man United fan, somebody will have a pop and go, yeah, but you, yeah. And I go, we've won 5 European Cups. Look, I've been to 7 finals. Leave me alone. what can you say to that?
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody level at me and it wasn't my football team, I'd have to go, well, you can't argue
yeah,
with that.
Change the subject.
Change the subject. So what they said, we changed the name to the story of Liverpool Football Club, because we were getting a bit of stick because it was called the official history of Liverpool Football Club. Yeah. So you're only going on about your history. And the question you just said to me is spot on, because you said to me, are we ready to make more history? And we are, because that's why we changed it to the story, because I think the ongoing stuff now, it's the beginning and where it's going to go. And the show's ever evolving, so it's the story of Liverpool Football Club, it's not the history anymore.
Yeah.
I took it out because we were getting a bit of stick about it. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. The next stage as well is after this, is that you're going to Belfast as well?
Yeah, great city. I went over there, and when we took one night in Istanbul there, they were chocking with us. They were saying, you never come here with that show, and you've never... nothing much gets to Belfast. I still think people have got this mind lock about the way it used to be.
Yeah.
It's a whole new city now. Went there, and I know there's a lot of fanatical Liverpool fans, because when we had the show on in Liverpool, people were coming from Belfast.
Yeah.
So we looked on the Twitter account and stuff, and most people in the world were asking for the show were from Belfast and Australia.
Right.
So Indonesia too.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we did is we just decided, let's just go to Belfast. So yeah. I'm really happy we're going there.
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, I know from stuff I'm involved with that we get a lot of requests to go to Belfast, and I'd love to do it one day if anyone can ever sort it out for us. The interesting thing you just said there about Indonesia, do you think this is a story that can translate across different languages? I mean, with the way you've done the story, do you think...
might struggle. The singing's great. The singing's no problem. There's a lot of great songs in there. I think some of the dialogue will suffer. I mean, there's a scene where two lads are bunking the train in the 80s to get to Germany for a Liverpool game. I don't know if people can understand that. But.
No. And any plans for it to ever be turned into a film? Do you think that's something it would work as?
It is. We've talked about it. It's an idea that we've had, and I'd have no problem. I've put the basis of it being a film in place. It'd be a docudrama because you're talking about history, factual, comedy, everything in there. But you know what? I mean, how do you get that into one film? You want like 90-minute film?
Yeah, like Star Wars or something. You have to do quite a few.
You have to do three, couldn't you? You could do three with Liverpool. Yeah. And this, the whole problem with this show is condensing it down to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
50 minutes first act, 50 minutes even second act, even 100 minutes.
Yeah.
It's Liverpool. Yeah. You know, without being derogatory, if it was Ipswich Town, you could do it. If it was even like Leeds, because they've been like rubbish for years, but they've got good history. But Liverpool, honestly, it's so difficult to do this show, and we've left so much stuff out that the show can change every single bloody year if you wanted to. It just means you've got to drag all the actors in for rehearsals and do rewrites every year.
Yeah.
But the show is going to change after Belfast.
Right, that's interesting. So people need to get to see it then, don't they? You know, not just plugging it, but they do need to get to come and see it.
Yeah, well, it's not going to come back to Liverpool anyway for at least a couple of years, at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And also, it's going to definitely change after Belfast. It's going to have a number of rewrites. It's going to be a new Billy Little scene going in.
Right.
Which I always wanted to see. And he doesn't know yet, but there's going to be a Ian Callaghan scene.
Oh, brilliant.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's understated as well, because he's...
Absolutely.
He's
spot on.
A lovely man as well. As, you know, the biggest number of appearances for the club. And he's been through how many different eras? You know, he was... You know, you could almost write a film about him, about him.
No, you could. And I think he gets a really good mention in the play.
Good.
But I think he deserves a whole scene.
Yeah, brilliant.
I do. And no else we haven't got a scene on? Ian Rush.
Right.
He's got the most goals. He's in it.
Yeah.
But not what he'd done. And his goals, and Roger Hunt. So now when we start talking.
Yeah.
And there's a scene on there. Joe Fagan gets a mention.
Yeah.
But he gets a mention.
Yeah.
Gerard Hooley gets a we've done the treble next.
Yes.
And you feel guilty because when it goes by, sometimes you're watching the show and you think, it's not enough that.
Mm.
It's Liverpool.
Got to do your best, haven't you? Which is probably how Liverpool have been down the years anyway. Got to do your best. So.
That's it.
Well, I've not been to see it yet, so hopefully I get to see it this time. And people can see it 28th to the 30th of August at the Echo Arena, and I'll put details about to get tickets on the website. And also, we're doing a competition to give 2 tickets away, so...
Oh, good stuff.
Get entering.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for speaking to us anyway.
No, cheers, Jim. Thanks for that.